Welcome to this week's edition of Community Tides. This is Chris Bricker, and on alternate Fridays during the noon hour, I join my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation, to explore new developments, new paradigms, and the panorama of good work and creative thinking our vibrant communities continue to do day in and day out. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you.
As always. Just north of Chimicum Crossroads, you can find a beautifully designed multi-use park conceived for our Jefferson County communities. It's called H.J. Carroll Park, and it's just 9 miles south of Central Port Townsend off of Rhodey Drive or State Route 19. A short road from the turnoff opens onto soccer fields and basketball courts, a pavilion, an amazing and innovative jump playground, walking paths, and more. But also within the bounds of the park lies Kulkaihan Native Plant Demonstration Garden. Beautifully laid out, meditative, educational, and most of all, inspiring nature. Quite impressive. It's next to the salmon shelter where Chimicum Creek flows at the garden's edge. And here to tell us all about it are Linda Lancammer and Robin Nye. Linda has loved wild nature and hiking since her youth, and she's college-trained in horticulture, practiced landscape design for 45 years, and she's developed a school that shares many perspectives, landscaping and native plants, and it's called the Landscape Learning Lab, now 9 years running in Port Townsend. Linda has spent the last 24 years immersed in creating the Kulkaihan Native Plant Garden, along with great pleasure of working with an amazing group of volunteers. Now, Robin Nye, she's been Linda's garden associate for 15 years. She grew up hiking the trails in the San Gabriel Mountains behind home in Altadena, and did her summer playing in her grandparents' redwood grove in Santa Cruz, California. And she followed her brother to Oregon State, and her sister came the next year, and then soon after graduation, they moved their parents to Oregon. So after 5 generations in California, they're raising a generation of Oregonians, and the next generation are now Washingtonians. Linda Lancammer and Robin Nye, welcome to Community Tides.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. We're so excited to talk about Kulkaihan Garden always, but especially in springtime as we all start to leave our houses and get into our gardens and start to think about what kind of plants we have access to here in our community. And the Kulkaihan Garden provides such a lovely learning space for all of us about what native plants there are and how we should be thinking about them. So for folks who don't know about the garden, just start with a broad picture. What is it? And what's the history?
This garden can be found on 1 acre of land at H.J. Carroll Park. And when you get there, you'll find over 300 species of plants that are native to the Pacific Northwest, which actually represents thousands of plants, but 300 species. It sits over on the southeast side of the park, and I was asked to design it way back in 1998 by the organization Wild Olympic Salmon, which then brought awareness to people of the relationship between the salmon in Chimicum Creek, that's just below the garden, and the native plants in the surrounding forest. But since then, myself, Robin, my cohort of 15 years, that I couldn't have done this without, and many wonderful volunteers placed and dug the pathways, created 8 areas representing different ecosystems, which are also known as plant communities. These are communities that all like the same conditions of the Olympic Peninsula. Now, after 24 years, the world has learned so much more about why natives are important to us all. one of my personal missions has been to broaden the opportunities for the public to see and learn about the characteristics of these plants, their changing beauty throughout the seasons, and just how they play a part in supporting the cycle of life for all of us creatures. I'm thinking of humans more as creatures all the time, and we just need to work together. Our plant ID signs give you what you need to know and where to site them in a home garden. So if you would like to spend some time learning more about native plants up close and personal, come join us any Wednesday from 10:30 to 1:30. We would love to see you.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Robin, maybe you can answer this one. All of these native plants, I mean, Washington State is a big place, and native plants occupy that whole breadth of the state. And so the ones that you've selected are the ones that thrive right here in western Washington.
Western Washington, west of the Cascades, and from southern Vancouver down to Oregon, down to the Siskiyous. So it's a broad area where our native plants are found.
You know, strolling that garden, it's a very meditative place, at least it is for me. When I'm strolling that garden, I wonder what kind of an impact it has on your visitors, and what do you hope the impact is on your visitors?
Do you want to take that one?
So thanks to all the folks that visit or pass by the garden on Wednesdays during our work parties, they have shared with us on a wide variety of uses they are already making of it. So we kind of don't have to hope anymore. couples often come to read the signs and make choices together to add to their own garden. They say, honey, what do you think of this? And artists, young and old, say they love staying for hours, drawing and painting the flowers and the leaves. And ecologists have shown their appreciation for our lavish plant collection that provides a material for budding botanists. Teachers and homeschoolers on field trips have turned their students loose with a notebook to discover, draw, and write about what they find, and they are so much fun to watch. Some say they come to find respite and solitude as they meander the pathways.
And I want to add how many photographers come. This week, there was a photographer there with this awesome camera. She wandered around for probably an hour and a half, taking close-ups of what's blooming. It's a paradise for photographers. And then I want to add that this week also, NOSC, North Olympic Salmon Coalition, brought a school group. It was from Opepo, and they ran down to Chimicum Creek and put in baby salmon. Boy, those kids, I could hear them. We're a little, you know, we're up the bluff from the creek. The creek, of course, is down below us. And they were having an absolute ball releasing salmon into the creek. The fun and games we have at the garden regularly.
Yeah.
And what are some of the plants that you have there? I mean, are they easy to find, or do you have some rare species as well?
Good question. Yes. They are easy to find if you're not us, because we have covered every native plant nursery from Canada to Oregon. Great native plant nursery in, Portland, outside of Portland, Bosque Dell, that I recommend to get native plants. But we have depleted Bosque Dell. So, yes.
So I happened to notice just the other day all the flowers that are blooming already. And if you come there, you would see them now. And that is the white trilliums, the blue collinsia, which is an annual flower, very short and tiny, cute. The pink bleeding heart, the pink shooting stars, the yellow glacier lily, the white fawn lily, the pink old man's whiskers.
Coltsfoot is white. Beautiful, spectacular now.
Yes, it is. Thank you. And probably over 100 additional flowers that you will see over the next few months. So if you come, be sure to come back again when you can.
I'm loving the names of these plants. They just take you everywhere.
Yes. They're so descriptive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turtle head.
Yeah.
Duck's foot.
Woolly pussy toes.
Yeah. So there's Western Washington all the way down to the Siskiyous in Oregon, right? Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. And so what are the different environments that these plants represent at the garden?
Okay, we have a very clear answer to that because the garden is landscaped, designed with ecosystems or plant communities. And Linda, the designer, will answer that.
So we usually start in our own minds in the high country, which in our garden is a subalpine area. And that's, you know, sandy and gravelly and needs a lot of really good drainage. And then below that, if you're hiking, you'll see the montane. And that is some trees and other particular shrubs that grow there. I think you should probably just come and read all the signs in that area. We also have a largish green sign with lettering telling you which ecosystem you're in at any given time. Below the montane, we have a damp forest, then we have dry forest, meadow, and in the meadow we have the Gary Oaks and all the plants that the tribes harvested many, many years ago. Actually, we do have a tie-in with the Chemicum tribe, and well, we should, because we named the garden after Chief Kulkahan. So many years ago, even though we knew nothing about the tribe at that time, and have learned since then.
And we're on their land.
Yes, exactly. And then there's other ecosystems such as the wetland, the shoreline.
Damp meadow.
That's in the meadow, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible that you have that range in that mm-hmm. small space. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we had to do is just look at it the way it was, which was a scraped out gravel pit. They had just finished and gone on from that and had no nutrition, just gravel. And so I started thinking, well, which places lent themselves to what we could make of them in the future? And then we added a tiny bit of compost and planting in the subalpine, but a lot more in the forest. Of course, they always get it naturally there.
This must be a huge amount of work. So tell us a little bit about the team and how does the organization run and if there are ways that folks can support the effort or get engaged.
Oh, thanks for that question. Again, Linda's going to, since she organized our stewards of each ecosystem.
So it's changed through the years, but Robert and I used to play a really big part in the administrative activity. However, both of us now, having reached our 80s, it's gotten to be past time for us to retire from that side of things. So this year, we've started a new way of organizing in the garden. There's a steward for each one of those ecosystems, and they're now functioning like a team. And they're just beautiful, and they're really working together to support each other. If you know native plants and general gardening practices, we are ready now to welcome you warmly into the garden because we have one opening, just one opening on our stewardship team in the shoreline area. And the minimum commitment is just a couple of hours each Wednesday from April to October. And of course, you get support from the others. And if someone can't come, one of the other stewards can take your place and help out. We learn a lot from each other, and people have noticed there's always laughter coming from wherever we're working together. In addition, there is an opening for a chair of our board. We have some funding, we have other people on the board, a treasurer, but we really need a chair, a person who knows how boards work and can just come in and take charge and represent the garden. So if you feel that, you know, you're qualified for that and you want to talk to us about it, please feel free. We also need someone to add educational material to our WordPress website and to our kiosk, which is a beautiful thing, but has very little on it right now. So if you would like to explore the details and the possibilities of any of this, it's wildfornature2023@gmail.com.
And just so people are clear, it's the word wild, the number four, the word nature 2023 at Gmail.
And I'm going to ask you one more question because we only have a few minutes left. And that is, what kind of plants do you suggest that folks put in the ground this time of year? What would be your favorite plant?
Rather than to talk about which kind of plants you would plant this year, I would talk about it in this way. The best time to plant period is in the fall, the late fall, so that you can then let the sky manage your watering. But if you have to plant in the spring, you might set up some temporary drip irrigation or choose plants that like the shade because they will be more protected from the drying sun. Basically, though, just choose the plants that are available in native nurseries if and when you are able to satisfy their particular needs. So you'll need to learn that about them.
And if you're buying from a local nursery, ask that it's local stock, because a lot of stock comes from a distance.
Well, Linda Landkamer, having been working on this project for 24 years, is that right? Mm-hmm. And then Robin and I have been Linda's garden associate for 15 years. I want to thank you both for coming here and joining us here on Community Tides and telling us about this beautiful, beautiful garden, the Cool Kahan Garden out at H.J. Carroll Community Park.
Thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah. And it's open always to people.
Yes,
so it's not just on Wednesdays.
It's a county park.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. And thank you so much for joining us right here on Community Tides.